Welcome back to the FFV podcast. I hope you're having a great morning, day, or evening. I am your host, FFV, and today I'm bringing you guys an amazing guest. He's a talented artist, designer, previously at Microsoft and HBO, and now the CEO of Shrapnel. Welcome the legend himself, Colin. First off, my guy, thank you for hopping on the show. It means the world. How are you doing today, man?
Not too bad. There's a lot going on, but we're keeping it together.
Oh yeah, man. Especially you guys are just grinding through this whole entire bear market, man, which has been really cool to see. And yeah, I'm just really excited to dig into you, everything you're doing in the Web3 space and everything about Shrapnel, man.
Yeah, man. One thing that we're known for is our super, super shitty timing, because we decided to found the company in January of 2020, and then we just got steamrolled by COVID. And now, you know, it's like right as, you know, stuff starting to bubble up and becoming real, like it's, you know, the market's not doing us any favors, but just got to keep pushing through it.
Oh, yeah, dude. And honestly, man, from what I've been seeing and researching, you guys are not only doing it better than most out there, but the execution, man, the way you guys are on spaces, podcasts, interview. It's you guys are everywhere. I have not gone a single day without hearing your guys' name or Shrapnel or seeing some kind of gameplay, man, which is pretty cool, man. But
I mean, it's really tricky too, because it's like, it's, you know, I think the thing that Web3 needed was like that thing that shows it works, right? Like it's, yeah, you know, as reliable as Web2, like, you know, the services are there, it looks the way that you want it to look, like all the rest of that stuff, but it takes time. And so that was always a huge concern with us. Like, you know, it's like people want the thing they want, but, you know, are they going to be tolerant of how long that process goes and like, and how, you know, change prone it is, right? Like we're trying to do the hardest version of a hard thing. And like, I just, you know, can't be more grateful to the community, just, you know, being tolerant of it, like, you know, being really excited about the zigs and the zags that we have to make. And it's just, you know, that whole, you know, idea of like transparent development, like, mm-hmm. You know, it's great in theory, but, you know, let's see if it works. And, you know, to date so far, it's just been amazing. Like, it's actually really helped, like, put a little bit more wind in our sails, just like knowing that people are there and kind of cheering us on and like being there for each moment, you know?
Oh, yeah, dude, 1,000%. And that's what I was literally going to say was the transparency. You know, you guys really announcing what you guys are going to do, when you guys are going to do it, how it's going to be done. And I think that's there's a lot of questions with other projects out there. What are they doing? What's their goals? And obviously with Shrapnel, it's a very clear goal, and with NFTs and Web3, and also just without it too. And it's just a very cool and exciting thing for people to see. You know what I mean? Very reliable, like you said. But yeah, man, before we jump right into it, man, everyone here listening knows that the first two questions is more about yourself and your journey so far leading up to what you're recently doing. So with that being said, where are you from? What were you like growing up? And please let us know about that crazy background of yours.
Oh man, I was a super weird little arty goth kid back in Western Massachusetts. No way. Oh yeah. So I was a Western Mass kid, and it was, I knew I wanted to be an illustrator early on. And so, you know, when you want to do that, like when you want to draw space marines for a living, it's like, you're either going to go into film or into video games. So I was always going to be like, likely in Seattle or down in LA. And, you know, over time I kind of like bridged it and did a little bit of both. But, I went to art school in Rhode Island, which was super, super dope, and transitioned right into Microsoft out of that. And like, that was a really cool time. Like, you know, I like don't know like how deep into gaming you go, but I got into Microsoft in sort of like the Xbox Live Arcade era.
Oh, no, dude, I'm deep into gaming, man. Yeah, that is insane, man.
And I mean, in my, like, you know, I'm obviously biased towards it, but like for me, that was like that golden era where, like, at the same time, you've got a Halo coming out, you've got Super Meat Boy or Trials or fucking whatever. And like, I couldn't really have thought of like a better time to get into it, because like when you're in games publishing like that, you've always got like five projects on your plate at any given time. And because that was such a like golden era of like super dope and just like weird gameplay, like really weird experimental stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, it felt like you were kind of taking a crash course in game development. Right. So like, you know, I'd go visit, you know, two kids in a garage in Issaquah as the publisher and then go, you know, talk to, you know, like guys at Halo, like directors.
Oh, that's
Halo.
Awesome.
And so like, that was really cool. And I think it kind of gave like a compressed, you know, masterclass in game making in a really short period of time. But when I was there, like that was sort of the beginning of it. And then the, like I was there for the Kinect era, which like, you know, say what you will about the Kinect, like, you know, lots of, you know, we zigged when we should have zagged a couple of times, but it was a really cool, weird experimental time. Right.
Like I have one of those.
Oh yeah. And it's like, it's, you know, there's like a really good reason for like why the things that sucked. But, you know, there was also this like really cool, like, you know, effervescent, like, holy shit, what can we do? Like with this thing or that thing or the other thing. And like, you know, I remember the very first project that I like had been introduced to, it was like super cool. It was like, okay, you know, you're basically like a Tetsuo Akira kid escaping from, you know, like this military facility, and you've got psychic powers, and the way they manifest are through shadow puppets. So it was like, you know, you're going to lift up your hands to the camera and, you know, you do this thing, and then like a giant demon dog comes out and rips up a bunch of SWAT team guys. And it's like, Jesus, wow, that's fucking awesome. And then it was like, well, but we can't, like, we can't track your hands and we can't do this and we can't do that. It was like, all right. But you know, that energy though, of just like, wow, there's like a completely different way to think about games. Let's try this instead. Like, yeah, that always kind of stuck with me.
Do you think that it was kind of, it was too early in your opinion? Is that, what do you think?
Yeah,
what do you think?
I mean, it's really, I don't know. You can say that with like so much
came
different
out and stuff like that. And yeah, you know, and then the Wii and other things like that. It was, dude, the Kinect, for when I first tried it, man, it was kind of a surreal moment because it was like the first kind of piece of technology for me that I could afford at the time. And so when I got it, you know, the first opening view of it was wave your hand. And when it got to my hand and actually, you know, did the thing, I was shocked. I was like, dude, we're in the fucking future, bro. You know,
like, absolutely. And like the things that did well, it did well. But like, I guess like a little bit of inside baseball is like there were two camps in the company, and it was like the one that they ended up going forward with was like, it needs to do everything. Like, I need to be able to use my Xbox without ever picking up a controller, and it needs to do everything well, which it wasn't designed to do, you know? And like, I was like always in that camp of like, it should supplement and make good things even better. So like, if I'm playing a Call of Duty, I'm still holding my controller, but imagine if like, you know, I've got a squad behind me and I start doing like, you know, all of that really like cool tactical shit. And it's like, so that's like a supplemental thing, right? But it was like, no, like it's got to be, you know, first foot forward. But that's when you get into all of the like, well, you know, I'm not getting the feedback I need for this, or like, you know, it was like square peg round hole for miles, which you know, was unfortunate, but whatever. So, you know, long detour. But then after that, I kind of got into like the game streaming push with the Xbox One. Like, there was all kinds of shit that was going on with that. I remember being you know, in sort of like the kickoff for Crackdown 3, and it was like, everything's going to be, you know, rendered in the cloud. It's going to be fucking awesome. And it was like, you know, that was another version of like, the vision is dope, but it's, you know, maybe a couple of years too early because the infrastructure just wasn't there for it. So like, that was going on when that project kicked off. I got approached by HBO, and it was, they effectively wanted to do the same thing. It's like, build out a game. At the time it was a game division. It would become a game streaming division within HBO, like using all their IP and all the rest of that stuff. And I was getting like a little bit burned out on gaming. It's like, you know, that was like post Gamergate, post like super toxicity in games. And I was like, you know, I can't leave this because I love it. It's like where my passions are, but like, I kind of need a break. So let's like move horizontally and, you know, do a lot of the same stuff, but in kind of a different atmosphere. And like, HBO is like so good. It, like that, like even today, like I look back on that as like some of my, you know, happiest times, just cause like,
oh, that's awesome.
Well, it was like a group of like super, super high functioning creative people. And like, you know, combining art and entertainment like with business is super, it's famously hard. Like it's really, really fucking hard.
Oh yeah.
And like, I had just never seen it operating at that level before. And so like, I was there, like there was, we were sort of going to try to crack the code of like, okay, how can games work with these really high functioning, really cool, like, you know, creative powerhouses. Cause like famously that doesn't work, right? Like when you're trying to make a game based on an IP, like especially like a living one, like that's out and about, like it can't be anything but a distraction. Right. So if I'm a showrunner and then, you know, this fucking kid from Seattle comes up and is like, we should make a video game. It's like, you know, fuck me. Right. But like, we wanted to say like, no, like we have the creative talent to sit in writers' rooms with showrunners and prove to those guys that it can contribute to their precious darling thing and not be a distraction from it. And so, yeah, that took a while to get spun up, but eventually we earned the trust through, you know, making little like, you know, demos and proofs of concept for showrunners. So we were talking with, you know, Dan and David on Game of Thrones. We were talking with Jonah and Lisa on Westworld and like really getting in and like no fucking around being parts of those teams. And so the first big one, like that, you know, we kind of landed well was a Westworld experience, which it was very cool. And like an Emmy fell out of that one, which is like, you know, nothing. And then eventually, dude,
go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, it's, you know, that's not bad. I got that one hanging on the wall.
Dude, I know you can't see it, dude, but that gave me chills, bro. You know, cause when I saw that game go down, I lost my shit. I was like, dude, what the hell? Like, this is the, you know, this is the future. Also games like you've worked on, like Rise and Sunset Overdrive. Dude, I was geeking out a little bit, dude. I was like, dude, I'm about to do a podcast with this guy, bro. This
No, there's some good ones in there, but like, and it's like that one, like, is like such a tragedy. Cause like it was working, you know, like we were doing it in a way that like nobody else was doing. And it was like, holy shit. Like what would, you know, a true detective game look like? Like, it's going to be quieter. It's going to be better. Like, cause there was this, like, the thing written up on the wall at HBO was like, not everybody needs to like it, but a few people need to love it. And that's how HBO did what it did. Okay. And so we were like, okay, if we make a weird, you know, thinking man's fucking Westworld VR thing, like it's going to be weird and it's going to be off kilter, but like, it's going to be the best at what it does. And that's a thing that I feel like we were able to do. But then, you know, I don't know if you keep up on tech news at all, but AT&T came in and kind of fucked that whole thing up.
I didn't hear about that. What happened?
Well, I mean, AT&T bought Time Warner and HBO, and like I've started to understand now, like there's no such thing as fourth dimensional chess in business. Like you're like, well, you know, it sounds kind of fucking stupid for a phone company to buy the best entertainment company in the world, but I must just not be seeing it. And then it's like, nope. All the shit that you would expect to happen happens. And it, you know, like I would argue like so much self-inflicted damage that just didn't need to be there. But so, you know, to make it germane to this conversation, at the time we were building game streaming within HBO Go, and like, and we had it working. Like we had prototypes. It was fucking awesome. Like the idea was going to be like, I open up HBO Go, like I watch an episode of Game of Thrones. At the end of it, there's a link that's like, you know, do you want to continue your adventure in Westeros or whatever? And then you would stream the games like Google Stadia style or like Games Pass. And we had it working.
That's and like, so dope, man.
But it, like, we had this like really, you know, shitty conversation with leadership at the time. And like, and you know, nobody was happy, right? Because like AT&T was coming in and they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. And it was like, we know you guys are doing the right thing. This is what we should be doing. We are not going to do it because we just incurred, you know, $85 billion worth of debt. Can you sit on it for like 5 years? And so the founders that would end up going off to go work at Neon, we were just like, you know, in an industry of super smart people, this is the smartest group of people we've ever worked for. Let's spin out. Like, fuck it. Like, let's just go try to do our own thing. Like we, you know, we think we know better. So we're going to show that we know better. And like, you know, like I said before, like, unfortunately that was January of 2020. So we kind of got kicked in the ass by COVID a little bit, but the idea with that was we were able to bring a lot of IP with us from HBO, and we were going to try to do like a small games publishing thing, like almost like a Devolver, or like A24 or Annapurna rather. And like, the issue that we ran into with that was like, nobody wanted to spend money because nobody was sure what was going to go on with COVID. And so we had so many meetings that were like, this is dope. We want to do this. Can you get back to us in like 18 months? And you know, we're little baby startup mode. And it's like, well, no,
yeah.
We can't.
No, you know? We can't. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's tough. So we kind of kept the lights on with an Epic mega grant. We were doing some like virtual production, like Unreal screen stuff, like trying to tap into some of our contacts, you know, on like the Hollywood side. And that was okay. But, you know, the ambition was always like, we want a first party studio builder, right? Because at that point, we're like eight people sitting in a room smelling each other's farts. Like, it's like, you know, let's do the thing for real. And so, like, that's where Shrapnel came from. And Shrapnel was an idea that, you know, like our CEO, Mark Long, he's been trying to make that thing like for like 20 years, right? Where it was. Damn. Like a really hardcore first person shooter, like with everything that you would expect there, but with this really integral UGC element. And so when we were trying to think of what that studio builder would be, it's like, well, you know, what are like interesting bits of technology that are out in the field right now? Like what could be different? What could be cool? And, you know, when we were looking at Web3, like, you know, we had all been like, to some degree or another involved with it just because, you know, we're a team of technologists and we like interesting shit. And so like, you know, we all had our own bit of crypto and, you know, we were all sort of keeping an eye on it. But like when we started to evaluate it from like, you know, a no fucking around development perspective, you know, so many of the people on our team had come from like the early days of like, you know, microtransactions or like even like mobile gaming. Like we were there when mobile gaming came up. And there's always this feeling of like arriving at something a little bit too early or a little bit too late. And as we were looking at sort of like the technological ground, you know, now it was like, well, we might actually be hitting this thing right at the perfect time. You know, like it's gonna have its moment. It's gonna flare up. It's probably gonna, you know, peter out a little bit. And there's going to be sort of like a maker cooling down or like a corrective. And then the real products are going to have to be there, right? Like it's, you know, just that little bump.
Oh yeah.
And it's, you know, we did think like, okay, like if we apply the math to this thing, you know, anything that we want to do, that's going to be worth it is going to take, you know, a couple of years to make. Do we think that we can sort of drift into port right when, you know, consumers are going to be warm to it, when there's going to be some more familiarity with it? Like, you know, when some of the rougher edges have been sanded off, and we just thought like, yeah, okay, like this feels like it's going to make sense. And so, you know, we always have to like ask ourselves like the very, very simplest like question, right? Where it's like, well, why? Like, why are you doing this in this way? And so, you know, when you take like what Web3 allows you to do and apply it to a treasure hunting video game with, you know, user generated content that we feel people should have more ownership over than they do in other experiences, it's like, okay, like, you know, not only is that like not a stretch, it's like a peanut butter and chocolate thing. It's like, well, actually, yeah, I can understand how this technology would make each segment of this thing better to a point that, you know, we believe pretty strongly in the studio that in a couple of years, we're going to look back and be like, well, yeah, of course, like, how could you do it any other way? Like, of course, if you make something dope, that attribution should follow you throughout a community, right? Like, if you're the person that makes like the most popular exploding barrels for a map, like you, that should be reflected. Like you should get a payout for that. Like how could that work any other way? And so it's been interesting to sort of see us like, you know, maintain that track over the last couple of years of development. Like, you know, while, you know, everything is happening around us, like there are, you know, really positive points in the industry. There are low points in the industry. Like, you know, we've got friends, you know, making other products and, you know, seeing those rise and fall and all the rest of that stuff. But yeah, you know, I think with us, like we've been able to sort of keep our head down and just continue to drill towards that promise. And I think the reason that we're still here is just because it makes sense. You know, like,
oh, yeah,
like I said before, like it doesn't take you more than a sentence or two to explain it to somebody. And I think that's, you know, probably our greatest strength.
Oh yeah, dude, easily, especially for like NFT Web3 kind of native people and stuff like that. And, you know, so we're going to dig into everything that, you know, you just said, including, you know, how you guys started out at Shrapnel and why you guys took the Web3 route. But before we get started on that, man, I really got to ask, man, like, how did you discover crypto and how did that lead you into NFTs and Web3?
Well, I think, you know, some of it was like the very, very early days of just like, you know, when you're on like deep tech websites, it's like, holy shit, digital money. This is going to be interesting. And I'm like, all right, you know, as I'm like going through my RSS feeds and it's like, all right, that's one more interesting thing. But where it really started to pick up and get interesting for me was like, well, you know, what if, you know, you had a dollar and it's like, okay, I've got a dollar. That's dope. And it's like, well, what if that dollar allowed you to do other things, right? Like, so when I think of Web3 and what gets me really excited, like I'm in smart contract land, right? Like, it's like, you know, what if this thing, you know, what if its value that it holds is like the least of it, right? Like, what if it allows you to do all of this other shit? And when you combine it like with other tokens, like now you get more functionality. And like, in my mind as a game guy, like it was never separated from game environments, right? Like, I think like there was a while where, you know, people were like, can you apply crypto to this or that or the other thing? And, you know, some of those solutions fit better than others. I think the one like absolutely unassailable best use case is game economies and like in like what that allows you to do, you know? And I think we're at a point where like people spend so much time and so much of their attention and so much of their, you know, like love and passion in digital environments, like the currency of the land needs to catch up, right? Like it's like, for me, it's, you know, it's very natural and organic, like why this has come up when it's come up. Right. And so like there was a while where, you know, there's definitely a certain amount of like, well, you know, let's see where this goes. Like, you know, like me thinking in game land, like, well, you know, I can't directly contribute to how this thing gets developed, but like, let's keep an eye on it. Yeah. And then as it started to develop and you started seeing it like show up in more like proof of concept work, it was like, well, wait, actually as a game guy, like maybe I can help sort of contribute to this a little bit. And so when we were starting off the company, you know, like I said, we had been like working with like some of the IP that we had taken with us from HBO. And we were just, you know, putting feelers out like, okay, like, do we work on, you know, like Roblox content or Fortnite content? Like, is that where it's going to go? Like now you would say that that was like putting feelers out into the metaverse. But at the time it was like, all right, you know, what about games evolving into platforms? Like, is that going to be a thing? We thought like, well, yeah, it's probably going to be a thing, but you know, can you reduce it down into something more fundamental? And it was like, well, if the metaverse does take off, like, what are people going to do in it? Well, they're going to buy shit. What are they going to use to buy shit? And it's like, all right, well, let's knock that down even further. And so, you know, at a certain point, you know, you ask the question like, well, we're starting this company. Like, what do we want to work on? You know, like that needs to be a part of it too. And it's like, okay, you know, we want to do shooters. Like, we think, you know, people are kind of tapering off of Battle Royale a little bit. We really think Extraction is going to be like that next big thing. What makes Extraction interesting? And it's like, well, this sense of stakes. It's like, dope. What makes that sense of stakes even more pronounced? It's like, well, real value would certainly do that, right? And it's like, okay, so now in like a, you know, I don't want to be like overly reductive, but you know, in my mind, when you're choosing to like go on this journey for a couple of years to like make a company, like I feel like you need to be able to explain why you're doing what you're doing to a 5-year-old, and they need to be able to understand it. And in my mind, it was like, well, you know, treasure hunting for real money sounds fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like I would watch that. It's like, you know, I wouldn't mind playing it. I wouldn't mind watching it. Like an esports tournament where, you know, Shroud's over here and Myth is over here and they're fighting over a $40,000 rifle. Like that sounds really dope too. And so, you know, like each step of the way, like, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you have to be like, does this make sense? Like, am I using my time to my fullest now? And, you know, every morning, you know, because we would just be like putting in one brick at a time, right? Because like it was very Wild West. Nobody knew where any of this was going to go. And it's like, all right, well, you know, did that decision we made yesterday still make sense today? It's like, okay, yeah, it did. It still feels kind of neat. So you put down another brick and another brick and another brick. And as we started going, like, it's like, okay, well, as we start investigating like UGC tools, which is super fucking hard, you know, like it's a very non-trivial thing to say, like, we're going to start building user tools. It's like, does that make sense? Like, are we making something for nobody? Like, is nobody going to give a shit about this? Or is this going to be really neat? And it's like, well, you know, actually, like if I, you know, make a really dope building and, you know, 100,000 people download it, like that should be reflected in my success. Like I should get a payout that's commensurate with that. And it's like, okay, I think I could explain that to a 5-year-old. That makes a lot of sense too. And so like, it's like every step of the way, it was like, you know, is this still a good idea? Like, does this make sense? And it's like, well, yeah, I think so. And like, not only does it make sense, but it's like from a more fundamental level, it's like, this feels like it's more of like a gestural change for the industry, right? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. The like the example I always used to give, like when we'd be on VC calls and stuff, is like cross-platform play was impossible until it wasn't, you know, like it's like nobody wanted to do it. None of the publishers or game companies were invested in that possibility. Like if I'm on a PlayStation and my job is to sell you PlayStations, why do I want you playing with somebody on an Xbox? But the consumers got a taste of it. And the fucking second that they did, it was like, this is the new normal. Everyone needs to support this.
Yeah.
And then suddenly that impossible thing wasn't impossible anymore. And so, you know, there's like a whole separate conversation we can get into about like, you know, asset transmissibility between environments and the metaverse and how crypto can power the metaverse and all shit.
And that's like, what I kind of wanted to get into too, man, was like, you know, there's while I was doing my research, there's a thing called, I think it's PPC, and that's player. I forgot what it stands for, right? It's a, player created content, PCC. Sorry about that. And what I was reading about that, dude, it just blew my mind because it not only did it make so much sense, but it reminded me of like, if I, and I'm going to let you explain why I'm saying this, but it reminded me of like if Fortnite were to let you own your skins or your, or the maps that you build or the guns that you own. But this way you can create your own, and I know you could do it on Fortnite, but this is a different way to actually own the thing that you created. Can we dig into that? Cause that is so badass. And not only that, but it's actually put on the blockchain. Is that correct?
So like the way that we're approaching it at Shrapnel is like, if you make something, you're effectively licensing it to us to put in the game. So like it's yours, you can do whatever the fuck you want with it. Right. And so like, you know, that's sort of like where the web 2, web 3 things crash together a little bit. We're like, we still need to do work to make sure that, you know, you're hitting a certain quality bar, that, you know, if I load your content, it doesn't crash my computer. Like it's, you know, everything is like competent and at a certain quality level. But after that, like, yeah, you know, it's yours. Like we hope that if you make a skin in our game, you want to keep it in our game, but if you don't have to, you know? And like, that's like, I think like sort of like the consumer base and the technology have kind of stepped out of sync with themselves a little bit. Cause like, when I, you know, think about like Web3 conversations in a Web2 space, like if I'm on Kotaku and I'm reading about video games, it's like, you know, like, it, you know, it's more money in games, right? Like why are we putting money in games? And it's like, well, no, it's filling it baffles me that I need to explain to somebody that put 100,000 hours into Warcraft that their time should be worth something, right? Like you should have something as a result of that. And that's not some kind of push to like make video games work or like have things like be a job, but like if you put that 100,000 hours in, like you should have something at the end of that rainbow, right? Or like even if it's just like, well, you know, I don't really want to play this game anymore, I want to move over to another one, it's like, okay, cool, bundle up your stuff, sell it to somebody else, now you've got a little bit of money to get into more games, right? And so it's like, it's almost like this combination of like a used games market, like plus, you know, a gamer profile that follows you forever, plus, you know, your own ability to like build yourself and your brand in a digital space. Like it's all stuff that's happening anyway. So really we're just trying to find a way to make it easier to do. Right. Like it's, you know, our thing, like, you know, another phrase written up on the wall is just like, you shouldn't have to go to Reddit to sell your Warcraft mount, you know, like it's, that I think when you like present it in that way to somebody that might be a skeptic in the space, it's like, oh yeah, well, yeah.
People are doing it already.
Yeah. And it's like, so that was another one of those, you know, can you explain it to a 5-year-old things? Like all we're doing is trying to like take behaviors that are happening anyway and making them easier and like sanding some of the friction off. Right. And like, yeah, I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit deeper later, but like the Shrapnel perspective is we are a super dope free to play extraction shooter. Like that's it. There's also this interesting technology underneath it that, you know, we're not going to hit you over the head with it. Like we're not going to be like, you know, it's crypto. But if you've been playing our game for a while and you've got some dope loot or you've been making some cool levels, it's like, hey, you know, do you want to try to sell those things? And you might say like, no, you know, I just play shooter games. I don't do any of that shit. It's like, okay, well, let us show you how easy it is. And at that point, it's like, you know, like so much of the technology conversation in the space has been like, how do we get people to appreciate it? And our approach is like, well, no, like have them come to you with a need and then you fulfill that need. And so if we're like, well, you know, I've been making all these like really dope levels, but yeah, I'm really thinking it'd be cool if they could go up on the marketplace. It's like, cool, you know, first mint is on us. Let us show you how simple that is. Cool. Like, you know, maybe like, you know, you're into insignias, but you would never make a multiplayer level, but like, why don't you give it a shot? You know, it's like, we'll make it free for you. We'll make it really easy. And like the hope is that in trying to target like many, many different like cohorts and users, like with as much ease and fun as possible, it's not about like, you know, how do we get people into crypto? It's, we're going to like create this desire in our community. And now we've got an answer for like what they need. Right. And that just so happens to be crypto. And like, you know, that's, you know, maybe slightly tangential to how a lot of like the rest of the building community works. But for us, we think it makes sense. You know, it makes sense to that 5-year-old that I'm like, you know, yelling at about crypto.
1,000%, man. And it's also about the education about it, because you're right, man. If you're just pounding on like, hey, this is NFTs, crypto, it's very off-putting. You know what I mean? Because people think it's, you know, the negative connotations that NFTs and Web3 has, you know, it's you automatically think this is some kind of fad. This is some kind of scam that they're trying to do this or whatever. But by the way, you guys are doing it and approaching it is very smart, in my opinion, because you're also not only making a necessity, but you're showing them that not only how you can do it, but this is actually possible. Like you've spent so much time creating these worlds, creating these gun skins or what have you. And you should be rewarded for that. I think that we're just, you know, the gaming community and stuff like that, because I've been gaming all my life, man. I think we're just so used to the way things are. A little bit of different ways or a different kind of approach comes into us, it's not I wouldn't say scary, but I'm just like, let me play game. You know legit. What I mean?
Yeah. No, like that's totally legit. And it's like, I think like, you know, it's really easy to be like, oh, fucking gamers, blah, blah, blah. But like, I think the thing to reduce it down to is just like, people are passionate, you know, like they're passionate about their worlds. And like, you know, I think that there was a thing that happened in the early days of Web3 where like, you know, whether you're like a finance guy or a technology guy, like if you were into Web3 a year ago, you're a technologist, right? Like you're willing to fight the rough spots because like it's interesting and it's cool and it's like it's future looking, and that's really cool. But the trap that you can fall into with that is like, when technologists make things for other technologists, it's really hard for your grandma to get into it, right? And like, and that's where I think, you know, a lot of the corrective needed to happen. But you know, one of the things I like to say in the studio is like, in my mind, like as a Web3 technology guy, I think of it much more as like TCP/IP, right? Like your grandma doesn't need to know what TCP/IP is to go buy shit on Amazon. She just knows that she can go to Amazon and it works, right?
Click a button.
Click a button and it works. And like, that is catastrophically difficult to do, but it doesn't matter. Cause if she clicks the button, the toilet paper shows up at her house. Right. And like, we wanted to do the same thing with crypto. We're like, I guarantee you that, you know, if you yell at your grandma and just like, you should like crypto. And it's like, well, why? And it's like, well, because it's crypto, like you will fail. And I think that that's 100%. Where we were at for a really long time.
Yeah.
But with this, like, if it's like, hey, you know, that shit that you can do in all those other video games, like I can buy a skin, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you want to, you can sell that to somebody else. Or if you want to, you can package that up and sell that as another thing. And now it's, you know, more of a rare collectible, like blah, blah, blah. If you don't want to do all that shit, it's fine. It's completely fine. And as a user for us, you are just as precious to us as the people that are engaging with the Web3 thing. And our belief is if you hang out in that environment for a little while, your natural curiosity is going to be like, well, you know, maybe I'll check this out. Like maybe I won't stick with it, but like, yeah, what the hell? Like I'm here anyway. That is a much, much easier nudge than you should like crypto. And if you don't, you're a fucking idiot. Like, which, you know, I like, don't quite agree with that message, you know? And I think there was a lot of like self-harm that happened in the crypto community. Cause it's like, you know, why don't you get it? And it's like, well, they don't get it because you're not showing them a reason to, you know? And like for us, like all that we're doing, like, you know, it's like the millions of dollars and all the time and effort and all this bullshit is to make something worth experiencing. And if you do that first, then we can start to experiment with this other stuff. But like, yeah, there was certainly a criticism of Web3 for a while that it was a solution in search of a problem. And I think, like, frankly, that was true. You know, like, you like, give me a reason to give a shit. Like, if I say, like, holy shit, you could buy things on the internet now. And it's like, okay, cool. What am I going to buy? And it's like, well, we don't know yet, but you can do it. And it's like, well, to your grandma, like, she doesn't give a shit, you know? And like, and why should she, you know? But like, we're starting to think, like, if we give you a really compelling core experience, like, it, like in game design, we call it like second to second, minute to minute, hour to hour. And if you can give people a really interesting second to second, minute to minute, like, they're going to come anyway, you know? And we think that we've got enough, like, you know, talent on our game design bench that we're going to make a thing that's worth playing and people are going to want to come to it anyway. Once you do that, then you can start thinking about that hour to hour and saying, like, well, you know, I've played 15 matches. I've got all this really dope shit. Now, what do I do with it? It's like, well, let us show you, you know, if you want, you can put it over here or you could remix it over there or do a collab with this other person. And it's like, and then that starts to kind of become the meta game. And like, now you're cooking with gas, right? Like, now the thing is moving and it's like, well, I have this thing, I'm going to remix it, going to put it up on the store. Somebody buys it. They put that in their level. Now I'm playing that in a match. You know, the match gets televised. It's like a big esports thing. So now that, you know, drives desirability towards any one of those assets. And like, now you've got that virtuous cycle going where nobody involved in what I just said is thinking about crypto, but it's underlying all of it. Right. And like, you know, like, I'm not going to like begrudge anybody in the community for being excited about a technology. Cause again, like, we're all technologists, but like, you know, that's not for everybody. Like, that's not the thing that you need to be able to focus on. Like, what that story needs to be is not, look how smart I am for developing this thing. It's look at what I can allow you to do that you couldn't do before. And like, you know, there like plenty of like late nights where I'm up at 4 a.m. staring at the ceiling being like, you know, that's like a cool thing to say on a podcast, but is it legit? Like, is that going to be how it works? And, you know, thankfully, you know, every morning I wake up, it's like that ethic seems to be working. And the more we build on top of it, it still seems to work. And like, now that we're getting really close to launching like for real big time content, it's like, you know, is it going to hold together? Is it going to hold together? And it's like, well, yeah, because you're offering people, you know, something fairly fundamental. You know, it's just like, do you want to do more with what you have? And it's, you know, easy in hindsight to look back in the last couple of years and be like, well, of course that's how we should have done it. But like, it was really scary, you know, while we're like trying to build this stuff up. It's like, you know, are we going to build it? Like, if we build it, will they come kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And it's starting to look like that, like, yeah, like if you give people what they want, they're going to hang out in your game environment, you know?
Oh, easily, dude. But, and it's a very, you know, the way that you guys are doing it, even the content that you guys are creating now, it's very intriguing because, you know, I'm not trying to be mean towards any other games out there in Web3. It comes close to none compared to Shrapnel. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, the videos that I've seen and the gameplay, it's just close to nothing, man. And I think that's why that, like, you know, it's a pretty amazing thing because the way you guys are focused is, you know, deliver a great game, great story, which I want to get into here in a bit. Yeah. But also, you know, sliding in that little, hey, you know, you could do things with your assets. You could do things with your creations. And the creations is so cool, man, because, dude, there's going to be like unlimited versions of different skins, world. And I'm super excited to actually see everything go down, man. And I don't know if you remember, but there was this energy drink company, forgot what it was called, but it's mostly towards gamers and stuff like that.
Are you thinking Brawl?
There's another one before that one. Right. Yeah. But I forgot what it was called. This was like early NFTs, Web3, you know, Bull Run was still going on. And they had sponsored one of my friends to put their ape on their energy drink thing. Yes. I feel like, you know, and dude, the gaming community, they responded very negatively towards that. And I could completely understand, you know, I mean, like, like from a gamer's perspective, like what the fuck is this, dude? Why do I care about a Bored Ape yeah. on a fucking thing? You know what I mean? And I want to ask you, man, like, so, and it's obviously completely different from what Shrapnel's doing, but the ones that do know about, you know, the crypto and the Web3 gamers, how have they responded towards that kind of side of Shrapnel? Is it a good, negative kind of?
Yeah. I mean, like, so, you know, obviously, like, we, you know, are closely like watching all the developments in the space and have been for a couple of years. And like, so when Ubisoft says it's going to sell you some shit that you don't really want, but they're going to force you to, like, you know, it's sort of like the opposite of raising or like lifting water raises all boats, right? Like, it's like they start writing checks that we have to cash. And so like every time somebody would like come in and just, you know, sort of like ham-handedly try to introduce NFTs into a game environment, like I would never begrudge a gamer for being like, hey, this sounds like bullshit, because it typically was, you know, and like, yeah, that's where, you know, again, like, I don't want to be like overly reductive and like have, you know, your listeners like rolling their eyes, but it really is a, like, we need to prove to people that it's worth paying attention. And if we make the good thing, the people will come. And like, and that's not to trivialize how hard it is. Like, shitty games come out all the time. Like, it's really, really hard to make a good game. And so, you know, we're like hyper deliberate and like, well, you know, we can make an extraction shooter and like, there's enough familiarity there that we can bring certain people in, but like, then we're going to ask them to be tolerant of this other new thing that we're bringing in. So like, what's the right balance of that? Like, and once the new thing is in and we hope self-sustaining, like, okay, like, is there enough there that we can keep people around? Right. Like, it's like, all right, well, you know, UGC or UGC is kind of like an evergreen thing. So we think so. And then that feeds back into the other thing. So like, that kind of feels like a good idea, you know, and like, but all of it's in service to saying like, all right, you know, you as a person, it's Friday night. You're either going to watch Netflix or fuck around with this dumb thing that we made. Right. And like, how can we make sure that this dumb thing that we made is more interesting? Right. Mm-hmm. And like, we think that we have enough sort of like bullets in the chamber to like, you know, say like, hey, you know, actually, if you decide to spend a couple of hours with us, like, you're going to be happy about it at the end of it. Like, but, you know, ultimately we're going to have to see, but like, all of that is like a long, like, word vomit way of saying, like, you need to make like people's engagement worth their time. And like, putting a Bored Ape on the side of an energy drink doesn't really do that. No, you know, it's like, okay, like I see it. I get it. I did it. Like, I'm thinking about it for a split second, but it's, but what are you saying? Like, why, you know, it's like, man, if there's one thing at the end of this conversation, it's like, well, but why? And it's like, well, you know, because we had some money to burn and we needed engagement. It's like, oh, okay, that sounds like kind of a shitty reason. Like, you know, if it's like, but if it's like, you know, I've been making a level, I've been working on it like nights and weekends. It's fucking sick. Like, I was really inspired by, you know, like Call of Duty maps or like whatever. Like, I feel like a creator and I put my blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. Here's my Counter-Strike map. Like, I feel fucking awesome about this. Like, that is such a different thing than I'm putting someone else's branding on someone else's product and I want to be involved with it. Right. Like, it's fundamentally different. And like, I don't want this to become a whole, like, you know, like, what is the spirit of creation? But like, when people invest themselves in something and you give them different outlets that they can like engage with afterwards, like, so different than just like printing your stuff on a t-shirt and walking around in it, you know?
It's, yeah,
like,
you're giving the players value. There's value. Absolutely, in return, you know what I mean? There's I mentioned it many times, you know, on the podcast and other spaces and stuff, but like, dude, you know, obviously, you know, look at me, you know, I'm a big Bored Ape fan, but dude, nobody's gonna care unless you're some kind of notable person. Nobody's gonna care about your Bored Ape, what your Bored Ape looks like, or any of those kind of things, man. And it's what I kind of just said, man. It's because, you know, there's no value being returned to the end consumer, to the player, to whoever is buying that product, you know. And through Shrapnel, you know, there's, like you said, it's just a whole different kind of thing. I think that, like, you know, we're in a spot as the Web3 community where, you know, we're not rolling our eyes at that kind of stuff anymore. We're realizing that that shit is true. And if people still believe that, those people are just gone. They're not even around anymore, you know? So I think it's more of an eye-opening kind of a experience to a lot of community members in NFTs, to where like, oh, dude, like not a lot of people care about if there's no value given back in return, or like you said, worth your while to spend the time at whatever you're doing, it's going to die off. Nobody's going to care. And eventually everybody's just going to move on to the thing that is going to bring them value. And
yeah, and, well, you know, I think a lot of it is like, do you care? You know, so it's like, so take off the like influencer, like Twitter hat and be like, well, would I care about this if somebody showed it to me?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's crazy to me how many, like, you know, really like powerful, like thought leaders in this space can't go through that exercise, right? Where it's like, well, you know, I've got like a fucking NFT and I can use that as a lien on my house, and it's the fiduciary instrument and all this blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, yeah, but do you actually want to do any of that shit? It's like, oh, well, no, like that would be terrible. It's like, then why are we fucking having this conversation? You know, and like,
no, you know, me personally, man, I care about it a lot. And this is from my own personal experience. It's because I'm building this character out. You know, I'm not selling you anything. I'm not putting my thing on brands or what have you. I'm just building this character out. I want, you know, this character to be like, hey, you know, I'm FFB, because, you know, I don't like this. I guess it's not like a bad thing that I say this for me, but it's more like, you know, human FFV. It's a little shy, kind of boring, you know, whatever, you know, but, you know, this right here is what I can, you know, express myself more. I was very self-conscious about the way I looked and sound and things like that. But for me, it's different because I can slap this thing on, I can make a character out of it, and I can express myself to other people while using this cool thing that I felt, was very welcoming, a group of people to me, you know? So like the Bored Ape community, the most welcoming people I've ever met in my whole entire life. And it just made me proud to represent that brand. Nothing else. There wasn't no of like, hey, I'm going to sell you this, put my Bored Ape on this and sell you this. No, none of that. You know, it was just very different from what
you just said. So like that's like really warm and cool. And it's like an actual human reaction. Like, at no point in that was it's like, how many transactions per second can I fucking like who gives a shit? You know, like I don't know. I personally like look at like the apes with fondness, because like the aspiration was always there. You know, like for me, it was never just like, well, you know, you've got your JPEG now, like, but it was like, we're gonna make game worlds and this is what you're gonna be able to do with them, and then we're gonna have concerts and the fucking thing, but and it's like, okay, so that's, you know, using the technology as a way to make something really cool, not just navel gazing and saying like, look how smart we are because we write to chain. Like, it, there was always a greater vision behind it, you know. Yeah. And that's like, you know, I'm never going to speak ill of the dead, but like, I think you can look back on the last couple of years and see, you know, the projects that had a grander ambition and were using the technology as a way to get there versus, you know, just flash in the pan bullshit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree, man. And you know, and it was very eye-opening for a lot of us, you know what I mean? To really experience buying an NFT and then having all this, you know, unrealistic expectations of what a founder should be doing or how they should be doing it and things like that, man. It's been a crazy journey for myself, and to watch, you know, there's a lot of people out there that really had the audacity, because I hold this NFT, I'm cooler than you, I'm better than, and that right there, man, dude, we started fucking cannibalizing ourselves. You know what I mean? I was like, bro, like we're fighting over a fucking picture that I think is cooler than yours, like because of a price tag. I knew we were going to bottom out, dude. But dude, anyway, back to Shrapnel. I really want to get back into it, man. The excuse me. So, you know, the game Shrapnel is the first moddable extraction shooter game built by a unique team of Emmy Awards winning talent. You could tell that I could read the bio. But really, guys, if you guys can go check out the Shrapnel team at shrapnel.com. Fucking insane roster, man. But tell me,
our bench is really fucking interesting, because like,
dude, insane.
Well, like, because, you know, I come at it from like founder mode, and it's like, how are we going to keep the fucking lights on? Right. Like, yeah. It's like, it's like, how do we exist? And now I look on it and it's like, when I look at our game design team, it's like BioShock, Call of Duty, Halo, BioShock, Call of Duty. And like, it kind of went from like, oh my God, how are we going to do this? To like, I just kind of want to step back and see what these fucking people are going to do.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like, there's so much weirdness where like, we'll just have these conversations where it's like, well, you know, like, here's that thing we did on Age of Empires. And actually, when I was working at Forza, there was this really cool like loop that we might do. What if we had some Forza in the thing? And it's like, I don't know what it's going to be, but it sounds interesting. You know, like, I at least want to check it out. And like, you know, that's happening to come at a time where people are like so fatigued with IP, where it's just like, you know, you could be like, you know, did you play Call of Duty? I'm like, is there another one again? Like, which one? And it's like 11. It's like, no, 14. It's like, oh, fucking what? You know, and fucking it's like, there's just so much of that shit. And it's like, and I am never gonna fucking speak ill of the dead. Like I said, and like standing on the shoulders of giants, like those guys like do what they do incredibly well. But like, I think it's a fair assessment to say like people are just kind of hungry for something different.
Oh yeah.
And like, you know,
1,000%
just happen to slip in there, then like, I think we'll be in a good spot.
I think so too, man. And it's kind of obvious by the way, you know, those teams are executing different things. For example, you know, like Call of Duty. Yeah. You know, I don't know how people feel about this. Me personally, I wouldn't say desperate kind of moves, but like, you know, when they started adding like celebrities to the rosters to be played, well, that's cool and all, but like, I feel like, you know, they were like kind of at the end ropes where like, what are we going to do next? Because people are obviously, they're used to playing the battle royale kind of style. You know, they're used to all the guns. They're used to all the maps. You know what I mean? Even with the DLC, it's extended packages and stuff like that. There's only so much time that they have to where like, yo, I want more. And when they release another version of like for me, example, dude, I stopped at MW3 or not MW3, Advanced Warfare. That's where I kind of just fell off. You know what I mean?
Well, which was good, which makes this whole conversation fucking weird. Cause like those games are superb.
Yeah.
Like, when you're playing them, you're like, oh my God, insane. This is fucking amazing. But it's always super. Like, which sounds so weird. Like, even as I'm saying it, I'm like, it's almost like they designed themselves into a corner. Cause like Modern Warfare is still fucking super good. It was good when it came out and it's really good now. So why do I want to play Modern Warfare fucking 9? You know, and I know that sounds like bitchy, but I'm so sympathetic to it where, you know, if you're in that room and being like, you know, what's the next one going to be like, you know, I looked at like something like Advanced Warfare and like I've got 100 comments to say about that. Like the design was fucking beautiful, like the art direction, like, you know, it followed this guy that I'm really into, like this guy Aaron Beck, like wonderful design sense. And it's like, oh my God, this is all executed to a degree that nobody else in the world could even approach. But you know, and it's like, well, why but and like I think the reality is like at this point now, like how long have you been playing Call of Duty? It's like 20 years. Like I don't consider myself an old guy, but like I've been playing this shit since the 2000s. Like,
yeah,
I just kind of want some, like I've been drinking a lot of soda. I want some orange juice. I want something fucking different.
Yeah.
And like, and that is not to diminish what those guys are doing. Cause like it's a guarantee that if you fire up a Call of Duty, the multiplayer is going to be good. Like, it's just going to feel good. Like, they've been honing that shit for such a long time. Like, of course it's going to feel good. But I think at a certain point, you kind of become a victim of success. And it's like, you know, it's like that concept of like, if everything's at 11, then nothing is, you know? And it's like, if everything is always fucking blah, like fucking, oh my God, it's Call of Duty. Like, then it becomes increasingly difficult to find those standout moments or that one distinct thing that two assholes are going to talk about on a podcast. You know, it's like, I couldn't describe the last couple of stories from a Call of Duty. And it's like, it's not to say that they weren't good. Like the best storytellers in the world worked on that shit, but it kind of gets lost in the din, you know?
Yeah.
And so
I feel like it was a little bit, I've been playing games since I was a little ass kid, man. Even till this day, man, I feel like I already know what they're going to release. You know what I mean? Yeah. In some way, shape, or form, the fundamentals of Call of Duty. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's going to be a different story, different characters, but I know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? I know what's going to happen.
So
next,
that's where the UGC comes in, right? Yeah. So like from our perspective, it's like, I think I'm a pretty good writer. I think we've got some pretty good stories, but it would be fucking crazy for me to be like, oh, I'm going to make something that's more interesting to you than 20 years of Call of Duty. But what we can do is make like set the table, you know, like have like a cool universe, characters like people give a shit about, and just enough interesting stuff that you want to sit at the table and make your own shit. And like, and that's, it's kind of like, you know, like turning left three times to go right. Like it feels kind of counterintuitive, but like the only way that we're going to compete with a Call of Duty is if you do it, you know? And that's like, it, as somebody like, as a creative guy in the AAA space, like that scares the shit out of me. But at the same time, it's like, I think that's just where we are. Like we're at a point where like people are hyper media literate. Like they want to tell their own stories. They want to make their own shit. And like the best thing that you can do now is just give them the tools to do it and, you know, give a word of encouragement and then back the fuck off and let people do it.
Oh yeah. 1,000%, man. And I'm a huge, I don't know how you are, but dude, I'm a huge campaign guy. I love the stories of video games, and it's mainly because, you know, you get to decide. It's your choice. It's your story.
Experience a story, right? Like I always feel like such an asshole when it like, you know, every single review that comes out on like a Call of Duty or a Battlefield is like, if you play the campaign, you're a fucking idiot. Like it's all about multiplayer. And I'm like, actually, I like the campaigns, you know, because it's like, because they're like, it's narrative intention. It's like people had a story they wanted to tell and like, and you get to participate in it. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
I put myself in the characters. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. This is me. You know what I mean?
Well, it almost comes down to like, our story's good. And it's like, yes, you know, and like, I think, best thing that you can do now is just kind of like give room for both. And that's very much what we tried to do with Shrapnel, like with like the comics and like all these shorts and all this other bullshit that we're doing, is like make a world where like, you know, it's not like this is the story and like fucking you're sticking to it. It's more like, this is a world where interesting things can happen. Do you want to come and hang out with us and like tell your own stories in that world? And like, we'll see where it goes, you know?
Yeah. You know, when you were explaining all of that, you know, the creations, the PCC and, you know, people making their own thing and really trading it off to other game assets, it reminded, and I know you probably hear this, but dude, it reminded me of a Ready Player One world. You know what I mean? You could buy these assets, you can customize your things, you can build worlds, and you can sell them, trade them, or do whatever you like with them. You know what I mean? And transfer your stuff to different worlds or vice versa or things like that. And it gets me pretty excited for you guys, man, you know, to be really quite honest with you. And I really want to get into the, like I just said, I'm a huge campaign guy. So like, what is the story of the Shrapnel? You know, like who are these characters? What is the story? Where are they from? What's the environment like within the Shrapnel world?
Yeah, well, it's funny because there are like a couple of different like creative directions in the studio. But, you know, the way that we always tried to say it was like, the thing I say doesn't need to be right, but it can't be wrong. And so like you might like say you were a writer in the writer's room and you're like, I have a story about like, you know, a guy opens a hamburger stand and it's like, OK, well, that might not be right, but is it? Like, could it exist in this world? And that's sort of how we're trying to come at the story, like from the outside in a little bit of like what would a slice of life look like? And can we make that internally consistent and coherent and compelling enough? Right. Yeah. So like in my mind, like when I would like pitch the story to different groups of people or VCs or whatever, it was like, this is not a post-apocalyptic world. Like this is a world where a mom has a kid in a stroller and she's strolling to Starbucks, right? Mm-hmm. But right next to her is this completely insane sci-fi goings on, right? But it's been normalized. And what would it mean in a world where that was normalized? So for us, our crazy bit is we've got this area that sort of wraps around the world called the Sacrifice Zone. And that's where, you know, with some degree of predictability, you've got like effluent and debris coming off of the moon and striking the earth, right? And so, you know, there was like an unknown catastrophe. The moon got fucked up. It's semi-stabilized, but there's going to be this area around the world where, you know, it's like constant, you know, disaster movie catastrophe. Mm. So the world kind of shored that up. And so like we threw this wall up around this band around the planet, but then like ultimately we found out that with that debris, a very, very desirable sort of like conflict diamond type thing was coming down with it. Mm. And so what we really wanted to try to explore was, okay, like, so, you know, you've got a MacGuffin, you've got gold that's in this very dangerous space. What would it mean for society as we know it to engage with that thing, right? So like, it's dangerous. You should not go there. You do not want to go there. You will probably die if you go there, but you're going to go there anyway. Yeah. What's the human story there? You know? And it's like, yeah. And you can, you know, think of a million different sort of like corollaries there where it's like, oh, it's yeah. like who wants to go to a fucking floating mining rig in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? It's like, that's a bad idea, but you do it anyway. And like, what sort of personalities would do that? What sort of organizations would do that? And like where I got especially interested in it, and you know, you're not really going to see it in like that, the first iteration of the game. Like, I think it's a thing that kind of comes in later, but like, what would it mean if there was a piece of gold, you know, over the fence and you were sitting there looking at it, and Google was sitting there looking at it? What would that look like? So like with you, it might be like, you know, I've got weaponry, like very capable, but you know, it's what I could find. And like, you know, maybe most of my gear came from REI. Like it's like camping shit.
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to do it versus Google, where it's like, well, I'm going to drop a nuke from space, you know, like those resources are there. And like, where it gets really interesting from a game design perspective, like to fucking swing way back around to that is, oh, like,
please.
So say you have like older equipment that is reliable that you could field strip and improve. And then Google has effectively an iPhone, but it's like a glass cannon, right? Like it's dependent on all this infrastructure and all this bullshit. And so while it seems like a Google might be, you know, like this overwhelming force in this conflict, they've got their own weaknesses, and you can exploit those weaknesses during combat. And so like that to me is what shrapnel is. They, you know, if you ask 10 different people what shrapnel is to them in the company, they're going to say slightly different things. Cause it's, you know, like UGC and creation and all this bullshit. But for me, it's kind of that, like, who am I and where do I come from? And how does that inform my fighting style versus you and where you come from and what your style is? And like, you know, to swing even further back into game design world, like, I think right now we're in a moment where, you know, like games are very, very fast, very like, go, 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 now, 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 which is fun as fuck, right? Like yeah. Apex Legends is super fun.
Oh yeah.
And like, and if I want to, you know, do a backflip out of a helicopter and eat a slice of pizza, you know, on a skateboard, like I can play Apex Legends. But I think that they're, the industry is going to swing a little bit in the other direction of like, you know, the way I describe like what I want shrapnel combat to be is like, both of us come out of parallel alleyways and look at each other and then move away and disengage.
Yeah. You
know? It's like, well, and when you think about that, you're like, well, fucking, what do you mean? You know, like, and it's like, do they have anything? Is it worth this engagement? Like, am I willing to lose what I have? Like all of this crazy shit. And like, in Apex isn't going away. Like if you're like, man, I want to do something fucking fast, it's like, that is there and that is fine. But if you want this other thing of like, I really don't know whether or not I should breach this door. I want to breach the door. I do not know if I should. And like, there are games like that, you know, it's like Ready or Not is fucking great. Like lots of tactical stuff.
Like, but strategies and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Super fun.
And,
yeah.
Well, it's like, and you don't like, there's also just the reality of like making a game today. It's like, there's certain expectations around movement and traversal and how combat's going to work. And so like, we need to honor all of that shit. But like, I just like what I'm missing in games right now is that thing of just like, you know, I look at you and it's like, fuck, do I want to do this? Like, do I want to engage with that guy? Cause like I've got a dope haul and I could either get to where I'm going or, or I could chance it for one more fucking thing. And like, and that to me is like, and like, I don't need to explain to you why that's exciting. Cause it's inherently fucking
it gets me fucking excited, dude. I'm like, oh shit. Dude, cause you know,
it's like an old, like cowboy movie where it's like, people are like eyeing each other back and forth and it's like, oh fuck, you know? And like there have been so many like game design moves that we've had to change. Cause like, if you were playing for a pot at the end of Mario Kart, you wouldn't play Mario Kart the way that you play Mario Kart, right? Yeah. Like, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, like, it will actually wait, like, holy shit. Like, you're not just like gonna fucking like meat shield yourself and like die in the chance that you might succeed. It's like, oh no, like I've got real shit here. And like, I need to get it out. And I'm in a, like, we always try to say like, not anxious, but tense, you know, because like anxiety, like people don't want to like log in and feel anxious, but like, that idea of like, fuck, like, do I go now? I'm going to go now. Like, that's like, and it's really hard. Well, and you can't, like, if you're a Call of Duty, like, I can tell you that you should feel that way. It's like, you know, you're the biggest swinging dick and you've got the biggest MacGuffin and you've got to get to the biggest helicopter and get out. And you're like, all right, you know, it's a story. But when it's like, no, man, like, you are carrying some shit around in your backpack, and like, it's the difference between whether or not you can order a pizza tonight or not. Like, we don't know this. Like, this is like armchair theory, but like, my expectation is that you will play that differently, you know? Like, and I'm really interested to see what that's going to look like.
Oh, dude, 100%. I mean, you know, I've played games like that, for example, like Red Dead Redemption, or what was the other one? It was more of like a military, PUBG too. And there was this moments, man, when you face this this person or this moment, PUBG's event, brutal. Yeah, a time or something like that, and you're just sitting there, you're thinking like, yo, dude, I do this? Should I fucking do this? If I do this and I fuck up, dude, my whole shit is gone, man. Or
it's almost like when you're a kid and like you're playing Sonic and it's like, I need to get up and pee. I do not want to get up and pee right now.
Yeah.
And like, if you could get that moment where it's just it's like, honey, like, dinner's ready. And you're like, fucking not right now.
Hold on.
Like, that's like, and that sounds like a stupid thing. Like, you can't build a business plan around that. But like, but if you can get to that thing, that's when it happens. You know, like,
it's
all
not,
the rest of it.
It's not something tangible. You know what I mean? It's not something you can record or measure or anything. You know, it's a, it's just an experience that if you are lucky to get from creating something, it's a fucking beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. And so like, all we can do, like I said, is like, set the table to the point that like, you're allowing for those kinds of things to happen, and then you hope that they happen. You know?
Yeah, 1,000%, man. And I want to take it back to what it's building on top of. So like, now when it comes to like, you know, NFTs and what you guys are doing with on the blockchain, I've read that you guys are using Avalanche. Yeah. What is the reason behind going in onto Avalanche versus all these other blockchains that are available?
A lot of it's flexibility and just like generally throughput, like. Cause it was funny when we like, so it took a huge amount of time to decide what chain we were going to work with.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you get into these conversations where it's like, well, you know, we can, you know, undoubtedly handle up to dozens of transactions per hour. And it's like, if you're in a game and you put a scope on a thing, take the scope off, take the barrel off, put the thing in, like, we're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of interactions at a time. Right. And so like, yeah, that's a hyperbolic example. Like, of course, like, you know, we have ways to throttle things and all the rest of that shit. But like, there's a certain amount of brass tacks, just like, we need to do a lot with a high degree of accuracy constantly. And we just felt like Avalanche was the way to do that. I think there's like a customizability element there, which is funny. Like, that's how we used to describe it to people. Now I would just call it like a very strong working relationship with those guys. But like, they were picking up what we were putting down in a way that a lot of other chains weren't, really.
Yeah. Okay. Damn. Yeah. It's not only that, man, but I also read that it's very environmental friendly as well. I don't know if that's true. Is that true? Do you know that?
Well, yeah. So like, it's interesting because now that feels like it's like 10,000 years ago that like that was the conversation. But like, I just say like, nobody wakes up and wants to be like a supervillain. It's like, we don't want to make our dumb fucking video game, but like, you know, the Amazon is burning down. And so for us, like, that was just one of those like high level questions first. Like, you know, do you guys have, you know, a farm in the middle of the rainforest that's like, you know, destroying the world? Or do you have offsets, or are you not as computationally bound, or like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And like, ultimately, you know, they fit into that really well for us.
Yeah.
And nice, it sort of seemed like there was sort of like a spiritual, you know, same paginess happening.
That's
and
good.
So now I think like most chains are doing that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But you know, it is weird to look back on that time and be like, oh yeah, that is really kind of indefensible if you're, you know, like pulling down as much power as like Bulgaria, you know?
God damn. Yeah. Yeah. And it's definitely some ways to create some negative connotations with that, man. Yeah. So, hey man, last couple of questions and I'll let you go. I know you guys must be really busy. But what does the future look like for Shrapnel? What are the long-term goals that you guys want to accomplish? It could be 20 years from now, 30 years from now. I just want to take a look at the long pictures. I know you guys are here for the very long game, and it's very apparent from the things that you guys are doing, the execution, the content you guys are creating, and the rewards and, you know, the value given back to return to the people that are going to be participating. So what is the you know, the goals and accomplishments that you guys set out and want to accomplish, like really fucking bad for you guys, Shrapnel, and the you know, the participants?
Yeah, I mean, some of it's like invisible versus visible. Okay. So like I consider myself like, you know, a storytelling technology guy. And so in my mind, it's like, where do I want that story to go? What do I want it to do? And what are you experiencing 10 years from now? There's also like business hat, Colin, that's like, so, you know, we've announced GameBridge. Like GameBridge is effectively us productizing our stack, right? And like we have people that are smart enough that it's scary working on this shit.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's very much like industry, like enterprise level technology that we're working on. Cause again, like that goes back to that. Like if 100,000 people hit your server at the same time, what do you do?
Yeah.
And there's actually like a vanishingly small number of people in the world that can answer that question. And we got lucky enough to hire a couple of them. Right. And so like, when I think of like, where is Shrapnel? It's like, well, it would be cool if 5 years from now we're powering Amazon's Web3 implementation, you know, like that would be fucking sick. Cause then now we're in sort of like a Valve or Unreal sort of situation where you've got this machine off to the side that's just like turning the crank and operational incomes coming out of it, which allows goofballs like me to go off and create a story or a movie or a comic or a book or whatever. And so like, I think that's some of it. Like try to like provide enough valuable infrastructure to people to keep the blood flowing and then have this insane toy box that we built to tell stories in. And like, we've already done like the live action shorts, like the CGI shorts, the comics, like we're just a group of people that like to make stuff. And I think being in an environment where we get to do that feels the most exciting to me, right? Like, if someone were like, hey, you know, we want to approach you about a Saturday morning cartoon, it'd be like, well, I've never thought about that before. Like, that sounds fucking weird. Like, let's give that a shot. But like, while freedom, that's happening,
do you love the freedom that you have, that you and your team have? Like, that's what it sounds like. You know what I mean? Like the freedom just to create.
Well, and like every, you know, well, many of the people in the studio came from big corporate office buildings, right? Like Microsoft or Sony or fucking Bethesda or whatever. And it's like, you always tell yourself like, well, I could do better. Like whoever's telling me what to do is an asshole and I could do it better. And so like now to have that ability to be like, all right, well then go do it. Go do the thing. Show me the thing. Like, you know, it's, you know, the answer to your question is yes, but the answer to your question is like, oh, fucking, I don't know.
It's like hard.
It's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And so I think like we always like took sort of like a fail fast approach to it. And like, I think having enough flexibility to be like, well, we tried to make the Saturday morning cartoon. It didn't work out. And it's like, okay, cool. But we all learned a lot from that. We told a cool story. Like what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And not, you know, like having to feel like you're living hand to mouth too much, you know?
Yeah, no, 1,000%, man. I couldn't agree with you more, man. And it kind of reminded me back to like, you know, you guys really being transparent on everything. And I think that you guys have built a lot of trust within the community, especially with the Web3 and NFT community. I hear nothing but good chatter about you guys in my group chats and the Telegram, nothing but great, good things said about you guys and the team. And man, dude, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of research to see that you guys are building an amazing fucking game that a lot of people are very excited to play. I mean, it's very apparent.
We just wanted to be consistent too, where it's like, you know, so much of Web3 is like, did it spike and then fall and then spike and then fall? And it's like, no. Like, we want to be even, you know, like we want people to be able to look at it and be like, this is going to be here in 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And it's worth me. Cause like time is precious. Right. And if someone's deciding whether or not they want to invest their time in something like a Call of Duty, and like, you know, like to some of your listeners, it's like, well, I'm a finance guy. It's like, why are we talking about Call of Duty? And it's like, well, no, like, time and attention is value. That's where value fucking comes from. Yeah. And if we can like take those people and like ease any concerns that like this project isn't going to evaporate in 2 weeks or whatever, it's like, no, I'm going to invest my Friday and Saturday night like in this thing with my guild, with my friends, and all the shit that we're doing. Like, it's really more about like projecting consistency, you know. Yeah. And it's like I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, like, you know, the idea of consistency in this space is probably like a welcome concept, you know?
Yeah. No kidding, man. And just like I said before, man, you know, we've seen it. We've seen it all, man. We know what to look for now. We know what to ask the certain questions. We know what type of person that might stick around here for a while or just here to make a quick buck. You know what I mean? And it kind of leads perfectly into my last question. And you can respond to this as short or as long as you want, but what do you think about the current state of NFTs and Web3? Its projects, the community, really anything that comes to mind when I ask you that.
I think it's kind of like a calm before the storm moment. Mm. Like, cause I look at like the last, you know, X number of months and like all of the wreckage and sorrow and all that shit. Like, if, you know, I'm super shitty for a moment, like a corrective needed to happen. Like there was a lot of bullshit out there. And like, and when that bullshit means people suffering a loss, I think it's even more significant, right? Like that's even like a huger deal. But I think like without maybe even realizing it, when people say like they want like a for real deal project, what they're saying is Web 2, right? Like if I go to like, you know, Amazon.crypto, it's like half of my transactions don't go through. I saw this value for what I had, but it was actually this, and I took a loss or whatever the fuck. Like it's all of those rough edges that need to be sanded off. And unfortunately, that takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And especially games. Like, and we're building a game that's also a marketplace, that's also tools, that's also all this other bullshit. So like, I think if you look at the starting off point, like, I don't know what yours was. Like, I will vaguely say like kicking off crypto in a for realsies way is like maybe like 2019 or 2020. I think that we're actually at a spot where it makes sense that it took as much time to get to this point as we are. Cause I think that that's where, you know, like real products that are going to like stand up a little bit straighter and like really hit the numbers that people are hoping we're going to hit. Like that's when that happens. And I think that that happens in the next like year or so. So like, it sucks. Like, I think it sucks to hold your breath for a super long time and be like, you know, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? But like, I think we're right on that threshold of it's like, oh yeah. Like there's this, you know, website that gets, you know, 5 million hits a day and Web3 is running underneath it, but that's not the point, because whatever it's serving up is doing the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And like, in, you know, our small part of that, I think, is like the most important thing is that somebody like sits at their PC, fires up the game, they have a super good time, and then they go to bed. And if you like string enough of those together, the rest comes with it, you know?
Oh yeah. No, 1,000%, man. And you know, this is my first time ever getting into crypto or NFTs or anything digital really related, even doing social media, was NFTs and Web3. And when the bear market hit, It sucked. It sucked, you know, seeing all these prices go down, all the net worth going down, all that stuff. But dude, I mean, like, for me, and you know, I may sound like, you know, a fanatic, but like, dude, I there was no way in hell anything price wise or anything bad that was going on in the space was going to deter me from leaving the space, because I don't necessarily believe in what's going on today for the majority part. I believe the technology. The technology doesn't care about who rug pulled, doesn't care about your feelings. It doesn't care about any of that. It's going to evolve into things that we can't even fathom today. And that's what makes me keep sticking around. It's not, it's nothing about, you know, all these other projects and stuff that are doing bad. I just think that I'm just waiting around to see some crazy cool innovations, crazy cool games like Shrapnel, and some pretty cool new people that are coming in, man. And I'm just ready for all of it.
Oh, like when I think of like, so it's like, well, I mean, okay, good question. Like, what is the technology to you, like, in a sentence?
Yeah. So for me, the technology is like when I buy an NFT, I would get either some kind of access, some kind of perk, some kind of availability, or something that I can't get without this NFT, or some kind of experience.
So it's a function. It would be
a function. Function, yes. But that's what it was when I first got into it. You know, nowadays it's more about like how are we going? For me, it's just like, how are we going to get to the masses? You know, it's not going to just happen one day. You know, it's going to slowly work itself up. And I think that it's going to be more of a convenience thing to use the technology to serve either video games, transactions, contracts within businesses or peoples or anything like that, and other ways to confirm like, hey, I actually do own this asset or this piece of digital art or anything that you can see or prove on the blockchain. It makes it easier for people.
So the see and prove thing is where I'm going with that. It's like, we are getting to a point now where an asset, and that, like, that might be a token, that might be a pistol in a game, that might be a t-shirt, exactly. It might be a fucking Bored Ape thing. Like, an asset needs to know what it is outside of where you're viewing it and where it was made. Right. And so in like
perspective.
Yeah. Well, in like, let that simmer a little bit, where it's like, say I have a 3D Blender file. It's like, all right, I open up Blender and I see the fucking thing. And it's like, okay, that's over there. And then, like, say, have a token. It's like, how does it represent itself when it's out in the wild? And I think that that's like a natural, like, sort of idea of like where our digital lives are going, right? Like, it's like Microsoft says, like, okay, you have this widget, and it's worth a billion widgets in our environment, and then we turn the server off. That's super fucked, right? And I think, like, I understand how we got here, where it's like, well, yeah, you know, I play Quake on a server, and then the server went down. That sucks. But now that means, like, well, what happened to the fucking 700 hours I put into it, and all of that stuff that I built, and all that shit that I sold to other people? Now it's all like irrelevant. I think we are getting to a point where that shit's not going to fly anymore, you know? And like, you know,
we had no choice. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's like, it's because it's such a fundamentally human thing. Like, I don't need to tell you that. It's like, if every single night you sit at your computer from fucking 6 o'clock to midnight, like, chipping away at a fucking rock, and then all of a sudden the rock disappears, like, I don't need to explain to you why that sucks. Right. And like, and why, like I can understand a sense of grievance that comes from that. Or like, it's like, but I had so many plans for The Rock. And it's like, well, fuck it. That's gone now.
Gone.
I like, and of course, like, so, you know, the arguments that come back are like, you know, how are we going to force Ubisoft to accept a shrapnel gun in their system? Like, that's hard to do, and it takes work and all this bullshit. And it's like, that's where, like, I go back to the cross play thing. It's like, I think that's going to come from a user base that says, hey, God damn it. Like, I have all of this stuff, and I want you to honor it. Like, of course, nobody wants to do the extra work or spend the extra money or do the extra shit, but I think they're going to have to, because like we're at a point now where, like, your mom is a super savvy web user. You know, it's like, it's not like, you know, 1998, where, like, if you were online, it was because you worked to get online. Now it's like, any, you know, like, dickhead just, like, fucking around and like and going into game environments. And so I think there's going to be this feeling of like, eventually the bit is going to flip and it's going to be like, well, what do you mean you don't accept my Fortnite guns in your game? Like, how backwards is that? Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. Yeah. And so like, and we are very like quietly swimming up to that. Right. So like we had a pitch for a while that was like, you know, we are not making the metaverse, but we're working with it, you know, and that's us like talking to Epic and Unity and all of those asset transmissibility standards and all that other bullshit. Like we are not like, it would be insane for me to be like, Shrapnel is going to be the game that fucking breaks all the walls down, blah, blah, blah. But you can bet your ass that we're going to be ready for that to happen. And so like all of our stuff is built a little bit more open and with a little bit more metadata and a little bit more ease of use. So that when like I think it's going to happen really suddenly where all of a sudden it's like, well, yeah, I can bring my Far Cry stuff over into, you know, Counter-Strike or whatever. But like you can rest assured that we are going to be ready for that when it happens. You know?
Yeah. When the boil actually blows, you guys will be there, man. Yeah. And I'm super excited for you guys, man. Everything that you guys are doing, the way the approach that you guys are taking with just regular gaming and Web3 gaming, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's very how do I say, not refreshing, but it's very like yes, finally. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, no, dude.
I feel that too, man. Yeah, it's like it's in whenever you see like one of the bigger projects like have a high point or a low point, it's just like someone needs to get to the finish line just to like yeah. to prove it out. And like, you know, like things happen online very, very quickly, but a lot of this stuff just it takes a long time to make, you know.
Yeah. No, 1,000%, man. All right, Colin, that's all I have for you today. It was an honor having you on the show, man. I mean, for obvious reasons. But before we wrap up, could you please let us know where to find more information about you, Shrapnel, and anything else you want people to know?
Yeah, man, we're actually pushing a lot of stuff out now because we just released our operators packs. And so operator packs are like, effectively access to early access, right? So like what we're trying to do is like, so everybody wants to play the game. We need to like throttle that out so that we can get the best results from it, right? So like we're actually asking users to come in. It's like, how does the gunplay feel? How does the movement feel? How does the traversal feel? Like all that shit. And like, if we get hit with everybody at once, it actually makes that harder to do. And so what we're trying to do is say like, okay, so for the community, we've got this entryway, become a part of the process, hopefully like it, you know? And then eventually we'll go more broadly afterwards. But I'd say if you're interested in Shrapnel right now, those operator packs are a great way to get involved. Outside of that, like our Discord's vibrant.
Like, oh yeah,
like that's still like, that's one of those like weird bucket list things where it's like, oh wow, we have 100,000 people in our Discord. Like that's,
dude, it's blowing up in there every minute. Yeah. Man, you know, yeah, people are fucking excited, dude. You know what I mean? People are fucking excited.
When I would say too, it's like it's like that old fashioned thing where it's like, oh, the writers actually read the comments on Reddit, and it's like like we read that shit and we're in there. And if somebody's just like, you know, I thought X when it should have been Y, and it's like, well, maybe, you know, like we incorporate that and we try to work with that sort of stuff. So like outside of that, it's like the usual shit. It's, you know, YouTube and Twitter and, you know, please click all the buttons and, you know, all that sort of shit. But I think if you really want to get into it, Discord's the way to go. And the next couple of months, like especially as we start to veer into early access, which is looking like end of the year, early next year, like that's when it becomes real. And, you know, it's like we're out in the wild and, you know, like I can sit and blather on for an hour and a half about our best intentions, but like once it's out, you know. Yeah. And it's, you know, the like we will be judged in the court of public opinion.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. dude, I can't wait for it. I'm gonna be definitely participating. Yeah. I'm gonna be playing and making some video content with it. I'm super excited to do it, man, and just really dig into it. You know what I mean? It's just like a Web3 game. You know, obviously it's not like focused on that, but it's a Web3 game that I'm just fucking proud to be like, yo, check this out. I'm playing it. This comes from like not only is it a great game, but it also has these underlying futures where you can do something with your creations and other things like that, man. But again, man, thanks for coming on. Please have a great rest of your day, and looking forward to your future, my guy.
Yeah, man. I appreciate the time, and always around if you ever want to shoot the shit.
Oh, yeah, dude. Anytime, man. Would love that. All right.